grateful that you're doing a work in our life, Lord. I pray that, Father, even with something like this, a title called Finding Purpose, Father, I pray for every person in here to find purpose, to find your purpose for their life, what you have called them to do, what you're leading them and prompting them and guiding them to do, the dreams, the things that are down inside that they may continue to rise up and just come to the surface, Lord, and that they will come to fruition. Just as I see things unfolding in our community and the things that you want to do through the Oasis, Lord, this is part of my purpose right here. And so, Father, I pray that others can get on board, find their purpose, see what it is that you're calling them to do, and be able to impact the people around them with your truth and your love, your grace, Father, and may it become true and real to each one of us. So I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I mentioned earlier that this was going to kind of be a practical application or a practical message, something that would that you could actually do something and be able to see it take place in your life, something practical with your faith. You know, sometimes we get, and I'm not, believe me, if you're more into, I need to know more about what Jesus did for me on the cross and that kind of stuff, we'll get back into that again next week. But this week I want to show you some other things. It's something to do with the body of Christ and how God is using the people that are sitting next to you and using you in particular to be able to minister unto one another. So many people I have found are seeking purpose for your life. Okay, you're trying to figure out how you can feel a little bit better about your life or your situation or whatever it is that's going on right now. And how do I get meaning out of this? What is it all for? Is it really have a purpose? Is there really a meaning behind it? I have found that what you focus on has a lot to do with how you feel. So if you're feeling like you don't have a purpose, sometimes it comes down to your focus. If we stop looking at all the problems, okay, and the things that are wrong, and we start looking at a God who has said that there's nothing too difficult for him to handle, we start putting our faith and our trust in him rather than being overwhelmed by what is right in front of us in our troubles. The Apostle Paul was one of those guys that he lived his life with a very intentional way of living. He lived with a fulfilling, intentional, and purposeful life. Okay, and as he was writing to the Christians in Philippi, he taught them to look beyond themselves. Okay, and that's what we tend to do, is here's my world. That's the problem with trying to be your own God. It doesn't go very far because you're trying to influence things that you can't, and pretty soon you get frustrated with it. But what the Apostle Paul was teaching is that when your focus gets beyond yourself, okay, and you start looking beyond yourself, start putting God in the forefront, okay? God is always with us, right? So, but I like to put him out here so that everything that I'm doing is motivated to get to God, right? I'm moving towards him with everything that my life is doing. Okay, well, as the Apostle Paul was teaching the Christians this in Philippi, he taught them to do this. And let me just give you, I got 3 points. The first two are very short because I want to get to the third one. That's where we're going to spend most of our time. But the first point is this, that we look for opportunities to meet each other's needs. And by doing that, you will reap the benefits that come from it. Okay, it's almost counterintuitive in today's society to think about serving somebody else, not with an ulterior motive, but serving someone else because there is a benefit in serving someone else. What if you help somebody else to do their job? What if you, I don't know, what if you supplied the water to the fire truck for the guys to put the fire out? You know what I mean? What if there's something that you could do that would help them to do something very beneficial? Okay, that's a theme you're going to hear this morning about looking unto to other people, helping them to meet a need that they might have in order that you may even reap even better benefits. It's your house that's on fire, right? So if you're providing that water to the fire guys and the fire guys are putting out the fire, you can see how beneficial that is to help somebody else that's in a different position than you are. The Apostle Paul said this in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. He says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Okay, in other words, it's not good to be self-centered all the time. Okay, I get it. There's times we got to take care of self. We need to do some things for our own health, our welfare, our benefit, We need to do some of those things. But we don't want to do that all the time, where that's all we think about is, how do I take care of me? Because the lost world around us is teaching. My new word lately is propagating. Okay, that the world is propagating. Okay, like propaganda, like it's forcing this message on us. Okay, and it's forcing this message on us that says we need to look out for numero uno, right? We need to just take care of yourself. Okay, you need to do what makes you happy, right? You need to serve yourself first. Okay, but that is just the opposite of the way that things work in the kingdom of God. Okay, the things that will turn out for your best are not by you trying to make them turn out for your best, but it's about you seeking to help others in their endeavors, and in turn, you will also reap what God wants you to have. You know, I knew a gal that her dad had taught her how to handle her finances as kind of a young girl growing up, and so she was a grown adult by the time I knew her, but he had taught her that the way that you handle your finances, every time you get a paycheck, girl, you just take that top 10%, the first 10%, that goes to you. That's your play money. That's just for you to have. Then take 10%, put that into savings. Okay, that's a good goal. And then take the rest of it, and you pay your bills, and you live off of that. Okay, and I remember asking her, and we were pretty good friends, and she knew where I stood with God, and so I said, well, where's God in that picture? You know, do you ever give to God? Do you ever, you know, sow to church or, you know, into a ministry or anything like that? And she said, well, you know, if I have any left after everything else, then I suppose I could give some of that to God. But, you know, she never did have any left at the end of the pay periods, okay, because her priorities were out of order, okay? She was always broke. Okay, that's just the way I knew her. She was always broke. She was second mortgaging her house and selling cars or selling different things to try to make ends meet all the time. She would put money into savings, but she would have to pull it right back out of savings to pay bills and stuff because she was constantly getting behind and stuff. You know, I learned very on in my Christian walk that the more that you give to God, the more you have left at the end of your paycheck. You know, the more that I give, I just feel like, you know it's hard right off the bat, but I give that first little bit to God because I know that it's going to make the rest of it go that much further. That was a principle. Some of you have learned that. Some of you understand that, and you're able to live according to that. One very practical way that you can find purpose for your life, okay, as we keep this theme going, is to look right in front of your eyes right now. Okay, it is where you're sitting right now. It is the people that are around you. It is the ministry that you're a part of. Okay, number two is simply this, that God established the local church to be a place for you to invest in, to thoroughly enjoy, and to thrive in. Okay, and that would be in your spiritual life. Okay, if you're going to grow spiritually, your church is going to be a part of that. It has to be. Okay, it should be. Okay, this is a place where you can connect with like-minded believers. Okay, but it also is meant to be a place where you can utilize your God-given talents, skills, and abilities, things that God has given you to help grow and support and spread the gospel, to spread the kingdom of God, to help see it expand. Okay, this is one of those main avenues that God used for that. Okay, number three. Told you I wanted to get to number three, right? So two was really short. Number three is simply this. Just like putting God first in your finances makes for a better outcome, doing so with your serving does too. Okay? If you want the best spiritual life that you can have, okay, you want to grow in faith. You want to be able to walk by faith. You want to be able to hear from God. You want to be able to know the things that are coming. If God gives you visions and dreams, you want to be able to connect with Him in supernatural ways, things that are beyond what the human mind could even come up with, and God is providing and doing things like that. There are some things that you can do within the body of Christ to help improve that. Okay, there are some things that will help you to grow more, okay, to become more mature. We are to grow up into Christ, the Bible says. Okay, we are to get to the point where we're not just drinking the milk, but we're actually eating the meat of the Word, right? We're allowing it to to really be feeding for us. If you'd like to allow us to see more victory, okay, if you'd like to see more victory in your own life over sins, okay, I'm sorry, I bumped the service is over button up here, and the children's church is probably wondering what's going on. Anyway, if you want to gain more understanding of God, okay, and of your salvation, okay, to get victory in certain areas you've been struggling with, or things that have troubled you and you haven't been able to get over that, growing in your spiritual walk with God will affect every other area of your life in a positive way. Okay, it is something that I know I've already told this twice, I think, now, but I'm going to tell it one more time. About I just read this last week about a study that was done at a secular university, but they were trying to figure out if faith had anything to do with your medical health. Okay, and so they had a scientist get in, and I think it was an anthropologist or whatever, they got in and did this research and all these things on faith and how it affected your health. And what she found is, she wrote a book on it, was that faith not only helped your physical health, but it helped your emotional health, your mental health, but it also was proven to lead to positive life change in the people who had faith over and over and over again. It was something good was coming out of that. Okay, so as we grow in our faith toward the Almighty, I believe our life just gets better and better. It just keeps thriving, where we get to, you know, you get to live with an excitement about life, and you get to know, I like knowing what's coming. That's my connection with God. I listen, I pray, I seek Him, and being able to see vision of where we're headed. Okay, but this growth that I'm talking about doesn't come by being focused on being a taker. Okay, now see if he can get this. It happens when you sow your time, money, resources, talent, skills, abilities into the very body that you're benefiting from. It happens when you sow into the lives of the people that are sitting around you, okay, right now. Okay, that growth comes through that. It's a divine principle that God designed, this koinonia, this fellowship where the body of Christ would get together and be able to help one another and serve one another. Okay, it's something that helps us more than we can even imagine. I'm going to put it into terms I think you'll get here in a minute. As the Apostle Paul instructed Timothy about how to effectively serve, he was teaching him how to serve, and then he was teaching Timothy how to teach others to serve. Okay, he tells him about the role of what Paul refers to later on as deacons within the church. Okay, now I want to give you a definition of deacon. This is out of the Greek. It's the word diakonos in the Greek. Now if you notice, there it is. If you notice where it says after diakonos, it has an N, that means noun. And then it says mask and femme. That means masculine and feminine. That's why it calls it a servant, either a deacon or a deaconess. Okay, it means that it can be either one in this sense. Okay, now the definition says a leader in the church who is committed to serve God through meeting the needs of the church, characterized by a disposition of humility and self-sacrifice. As Paul told Timothy, this is in 1 Timothy 3:13, he says, "For they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." In other words, serving in the local church leads to greater faith, greater boldness. Okay, what it means is that those who serve well as deacons gain a good understanding for themselves. Okay, you know why? Because they're a part of things all the time. And it is like being a part of it and being involved in the things of God. Okay, so they gain a good standing for themselves, but they also gain great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Okay, their faith grows because of being able to serve. Okay, I have to admit that I've probably messed up in this area over the years as a pastor, because I've seen people that were faithful, okay, faithful in attending, maybe faithful in, You know, they know their Bibles. And thinking that they were a mature Christian, I would appoint them to do the services or the duties of a deacon with the expectation that I can teach them how to be a good deacon. Okay, I have found that to be completely the opposite of the way that I should have been doing it. Okay, and it's the way that we have since begun doing it. Okay, what I have found is that it's the other way around. It's when I see those people that are humble, okay, that have a humble heart of service, that are genuinely fulfilling the role of a deacon without being trained, then that person can then be taught how to be more Christ-like, how to be more biblically minded, how to have the Christian worldview, okay? How to be faithful in the attendance and the giving and the other things that go along with a role like that. Those things come later on. I was putting it the other way around, right? You're faithful in coming every week, boy, you must be a deacon. Okay, it doesn't work that way in the kingdom of God. I found that out. See if you can grasp this. I have a big picture mind. I know I say that a lot, but I see this overall thing that I want to get across, and I'm hoping I can get this concept to you about the huge benefits that you reap when you seek to be a servant in your place of worship. Okay? Amen. Remember the fire truck? That's kind of the beginning so that you'll be able to understand this concept. If I don't help that fire truck have water, the fire truck can't put out the fire that's on my house. I'm not going to benefit if I don't help that fire truck. Maybe somebody else will. Maybe somebody else will get involved in it. I want to show you a passage. Let me jump forward here. I want to show you in Luke chapter 10, show you a passage. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. I know it's wordy, but I just want to read it to you because it's a passage I know that you've heard before. You've probably read it, heard it, seen it before, but I like the way that this breaks it down. So let's read in Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. It says, "Now while they were on their way, Jesus entered a village called Bethany, and a woman named Martha received and welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who seated herself at the Lord's feet and was continually listening to his teaching. But Martha was very busy and distracted with all of her serving responsibilities. And she approached him and said, 'Lord, is it of no concern to you that my sister has left me to do the serving alone? Tell her to help me and to do her part.' But the Lord replied to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered and anxious about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, that which is to her advantage, which will not be taken away from her.'" Now, how many have heard this verse? I know this is Amplified, but how many have heard this story before? The Mary-Martha scene, right? Where Martha's so busy and scattered and running all over, and Mary chose the good thing. She's sitting there absorbing from Jesus, right? And I've taught on that myself, that you know what? We should just sit at his feet. That is our goal. We want to just absorb everything we can from Jesus. Okay? Martha was distracted. Here's something I hope to get across. Martha was distracted by many things. And we tend to focus on that. And we come to the conclusion that what she was doing, serving, was wrong. Okay, or that was a bad thing. Like, you really should just go to church and focus on absorbing as much as you can. Okay, but the reality is that Martha's serving is what allowed Mary to sit there at Jesus' feet. Okay, to put that into really practical stuff that you can think of, you all, as adults and a couple of young youth in the room, we all get to learn and enjoy and partake and absorb from God's Word because somebody is serving in that room with the kids right now. Okay, and somebody else is serving in that room back there with the young people, the littlest of our congregation, the babies in the nursery. Okay, somebody else has stepped in to fulfill a role of serving so that we can be blessed. Okay, in other words, somebody is doing something that would be like giving the fire guys the water, right? Okay, when Jesus was pointing out that, you know, Martha comes to him and has this conversation, what he was really getting across is that Martha's attitude about serving was wrong, not that her serving was wrong. Okay, that stuff needed to be done, but she was grumbling and complaining about it. Okay, she saw her serving as a burden and wanted Mary to be burdened too, right? Okay, why does she got to do it all? Make them do it. Okay. We won't ask the children's church teachers how they feel this morning, but some may feel like that, but they're not saying it. Okay, what Martha was doing in and of itself was not wrong. It was not bad. Okay, we are literally taught by God's word to serve one another. Okay, we are to admonish one another, serve one another, help one another, do all things in love toward one another. Okay, in fact, within the body of Christ, we are each given specific, divinely appointed skills, abilities, and talents to do just that, to be able to serve one another. I want to read you another passage, this one again out of the Amplified, in 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 8. He says, above all, have fervent and unfailing love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. It overlooks unkindness and unselfishly seeks the best for others. Be hospitable one to another, those of the household of faith, without complaint. Practice hospitality to one another, those of the household of faith. Be hospitable, be a lover of strangers with brotherly affection for the unknown guests, the foreigners, the poor, and all others who come to your way who are of the Christ body. Just as each one of you has received a special gift, a particular spiritual talent, an ability graciously given by God, employ it in serving one another as is appropriate for good stewards of God's multifaceted grace, faithfully using the diverse varied gifts and abilities granted to Christians by God's unmerited favor. In other words, we're saved by faith through grace. So now that we have grace, that means other things came with that. This unmerited favor came with some gifts, skills, and abilities that we are to employ in serving one another. In other words, God has placed you, even in this particular body, for the benefit of some of the people around you. In Paul's letter, as he wrote to the Christians again in the Corinthian church, he told them that you're all part of one body, right? And he said, no, it doesn't matter if you're the hand or the foot or the ear or the eye or the nose or whatever it is, you're all functioning together to make that one body function exactly like it's supposed to. Okay, I want you to see what's accomplished when you learn about this, when you serve in your church. Let's look in Acts chapter 6, starting in verse 1. It says, and in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith as well. So they appointed some people to take care of some of the basic needs of the congregation so that the ministers could seek God, could pray, could preach better. Okay? And the end result was that the word of God was spread and that the numbers of disciples increased greatly. Okay? That's where I'm saying that there are things and ways that you serve in the body of Christ, serving one another, helping Margie and I and Jacob and others do things that helps the entire body, that helps you to be able to get better sermons, right? For worship to sound better or be more in tune or whatever it is. Okay? This is one of the many passages where we see how the church established and utilized what he called deacons. Okay, or what the Bible refers to as the role of the deacon. Okay, now, some of you know my history a little bit, but I was ordained as a deacon many years ago. Okay, a little church, smaller than this, and ended up, there was plenty to do, and got ordained as a deacon. Okay, then a few years later, I kept serving, and a few years later, I was ordained as an elder, okay, in the church. Then a few years after that, several years later, I was finally ordained as a pastor, and be able to, and started doing what we do now. Okay, and then first I was, it was a pastor. It took about probably 15 years. I was probably about 17 years old in the Lord. Okay, not as a 17-year-old kid, but as a 17 years in the Lord. I gave my life to Christ at 25. Okay, so it took that long for all that process to come to pass. Okay, now the pastor is kind of the shepherd. You know, we care for the spiritual health, the spiritual needs of the flock. We are protectors. Okay, I protect by praying and fighting for you behind the scenes with the enemy, but I also will protect by steering you clear of false teachings and things that will lead you astray or distract you. Okay, the elders focus on the guidance and their teachers. Okay, in the body of Christ, they care for kind of the emotional well-being as well as some spiritual well-being of the members. Okay, the deacons, okay, that first one, the deacons focus on serving the and meeting the physical needs of the people in the body, as well as taking care of the facilities of the ministry, the building. Okay, now I have a job description for helping people to fulfill the role of a deacon. Okay, and I want to show you a portion of that. The whole thing is several pages, but I want to take a snapshot of that and show you a portion of how it outlines the way that a deacon would actually serve. Look at this definition or this explanation. It says, in your position in the local congregation, you should manifest a concern for the welfare of the parishioners. If you are aware of a need in a home, spiritual or physical, you should not just pass it off, but see that that need is met. You are given authority to organize a work detail to help in our homes at any time you see the need. You are over the care ministry of the local congregation, which is to see that none of our families are doing without vital necessities. None of our families should go without food, etc., as long as something can be done about it. Minor house repair, painting, repair, etc. of the parishioners should be seen to by you. This is for those in need. Your duties also include having physical oversight of the church building and property. See that custodial duties are performed and that the building and property do not come into disrepair. Now, you ever think about this stuff? How all these things happen and how it all comes together. It takes a lot more than just the two of us. In other words, there's so many people that are helping. But out of all the roles in the body of Christ, out of all the things, if you want to call them the ordained offices that I've had, out of all of those, being a deacon was by far my favorite. There's nothing better than being a deacon. It is like you get to do this serving of people and you're just, people don't look at you as like being up on any pedestal. You just get to be you and go and serve and help people. Okay, you get to go and take care and serve the flock, okay, including the pastors and elders, and you do all that stuff without that, you know, the burden that goes along with some of those other ministries. Okay, you be the public face of a ministry. It adds with it that glass window that we have to live in. You know, the glass, what do they call it? A glass house, glass box, fishbowl. There you go. Okay, it comes with a fishbowl. Deacons don't have a fishbowl. Okay, they get to do all that serving and what I call the fun stuff without having that. Okay, you get to see the physical needs of the church. of the building itself or the ministry and the people, and you just fulfill those needs as a layperson. It is what I would call the most organic of all the roles in the church. Okay, it is the most easy to step into. It's like it's almost a natural growth. Okay, the deacon just keeps their eyes open. Okay, they focus on doing the things that need to be done. You know, we've had people over the years that, you know, when they see that maybe we're running low on coffee in the break room, okay, or the water cooler, you know, they see a couple of empty jugs sitting there, they just pick some up the next time they're at the store and bring it down here and stock us back up again, right? That's something that is a need of the church that some people don't think about, but boy, you sure notice if we don't have cups, right? No coffee cups, we'd notice that. Okay, Margie and I came down to the church one day to visit with somebody, and as we pulled up, Keith was actually pulling up. I'll use his name because I don't think he'd mind, but Keith was pulling up to the church at the same time as we are, and he has the key to the church, and he was bringing in his toolbox and his ladder, and you know he was going to fix some pipes up in the attic that I didn't even know were broken or needed fixing. Okay, I tell you, I can't be more pleased than I was at that moment. I'm thinking, praise God, you know, somebody's taking care of us. I could have walked into a flood or something and then had to call the plumber and gone, but I didn't, because somebody had foresight to say, I wanted to take care of this because it was starting to leak and it's probably going to get worse. They saw a need and they stepped forward and filled that need. You know, there's a lot of ways that people can serve in this role of a deacon. Okay, people can, you know, you can wake up one morning and it's Sunday morning and you see, oh, it snowed a couple inches overnight. I think I'll just show up down at the church an hour early and have the sidewalk all shovered before the pastor gets there. You know, that's something that people can think of if you're thinking of how can I meet the needs of this place where I go to get fed. Okay, rather than just thinking as you walk up to the front of the church, rather than just thinking, you know, man, they really need to get some new flowers in these flower pots out here. Maybe you could actually replace the broken down barrels that are falling apart, have bare metal, rusty metal sticking out of them because the bands are broken. Maybe you could replace those and fill them with some new flowers. I think they're plastic ones, so you don't have to make them grow or anything. We don't even water them. But that's something that if you're thinking as you walk up, that I wonder how I could help. You know, when a lot of the other stuff, some of the other things that need to be taken care of, it's all stuff that has to happen. I mean, it's all things that need to take place. But when some of that other stuff is taken care of, it frees me up. Okay, I don't have to be running Tractor Supply, buying stuff and, you know, digging stuff, or Margie or whoever. It frees her up. Okay, it frees Jacob for youth. It helps us to be able to be more into prayer and the ministry of the word. Okay, that's what I'm saying. The things you do will benefit you down the road. Right now, I know Margie's going to cringe at this, but I'm going to boast on her just for a little bit. Margie is considered our worship pastor, which is very involved. If you've ever been a part of it, everything from the PowerPoints to picking the songs to listening to new stuff to just organizing our team and all those things that she does. Okay, that's part of being the worship minister. Okay, she's also the women's pastor. Okay, considered to be that one that if you have women issues, things you want to talk about, you don't come to me. Usually you go to her. Okay, she's got to deal with all those things. She's our children's ministry director. Okay, the one that aligns all these people that come in and who's going to be where and who's doing what. The one that comes up with the themes that they go through. The one that does the organizing for the VBSs or the day with the kids or, you know, whatever it is that we do. She plans and organizes and buys materials and puts that stuff together and writes messages. Okay, she's the tween leader right now. Every other week she leads a tween group. Okay, that's something that another ministry that we had a need. Okay. Margie never once complains about any of these things. She might complain about me once in a while, but She doesn't complain about those things that she does. She does them willingly and without complaint. Okay, she's the best person for the job right now. That's just the way it is, and she knows that. She has accepted that responsibility. But there are things that you can do that would help with those things. One example I'm thinking of is like the tweens, okay? They get together every other Friday. Margie feeds them every other Friday. That means she's planning it out. She's going to the store. She's buying the stuff. She's bringing it home. She's cooking it. She's putting it into containers or, you know, the crock pot or the casserole carrier or whatever it is. Or, you know, she's ordering food if we have it brought in. That's something that somebody could very easily say, hey, I'd like to bring pizza to the tween group next time you have it. Just let me know when to be there and I'll show up with two or three pizzas. Okay. Or, you know, I'd like to make some desserts for that group or for something else that is going on. Okay. Maybe even coming to the, you know, when we're having a ladies' tea, I don't know who you think sets up all the tables and takes all the chairs and stacks them and, you know, does all that stuff. A lot of it falls on Margie. Of course, she's got a couple of boys in her house too that we get to help. Okay, but that's areas where there's some, you know, maybe show up, say, hey, can I meet you down there the day before? Are you going to be in on Friday? We almost always are in town every day. Okay, and it's just an opportunity to connect and say, hey, I'd like to help with that if there's anything I could do. Okay, maybe it's helping with the youth group, setting up for that. You remember this last time we had nachos and all that stuff, and Jacob spent half a day cooking and preparing stuff and getting it here and, you know, being able to take care of all that stuff, okay? Or staying after an event or a service, help put things back in order. You know, before I was ever ordained as a deacon, just as a person, I love Jesus, right? Love Jesus, go to church, spend time with my pastor and family and people in the church, okay? I was the first one to show up and the last one to leave for every service every week. Whether it was a special event, it was just a regular service, it was Wednesday night, first one there and the last one to leave every time. Okay, and I wasn't, it's just because. There were things that needed to be done, and I was able to do those things. Okay, I'd show up for services an hour and a half early, okay, straightening chairs, picking up trash, running around to vacuum, praying over people and chairs and things as I walked around the room. Setting up the sound equipment. You know, we had a church at one time. We had to set it up and tear down every Sunday. Okay, we used somebody else's building and setting that up and tearing that down. I did that week after week after week after week for years. 5 years in that one building every week. Okay, those are things that, you know, you think about. I know I've said before, I used to carry my worship leader's guitar into the church. I'd be there at the church, have all my stuff done so I could be standing by the door waiting to see. Oh, here they pull in. And I'd meet them at the car. And I'd grab her guitar. And she always had a bag full of, you know, her pedals and all the other stuff that goes with playing guitar that she had taken home for the afternoon or whatever. And I would go back and I'd meet her and I'd carry that stuff in for her. She had occasionally had back problems. I didn't want her tweaking her back or, you know, anything. Why should that even be a risk for her is what I thought. You know, I remember at one point crawling under my pastor's trailer house on a Saturday afternoon, okay, middle of the winter, and I'm crawling under there to braze some pipes back together that had broken because it froze, because I wanted my pastor and his wife to have water to take showers with the next morning. Okay, it made sense. You take care of the people that I was gaining. That man had set me free. He had cast out spirits and helped me through tough times in life. I wanted to be able to help that man and his wife and help them do what they needed to do. You know, I paint church walls. If they look scuffed up, pastor ain't going to care if I paint them the same color they already were. He didn't even know it some of the time. Okay? Or if there was a need. We had two different buildings that we leased over the years that we had to build an extra room for the nursery. Okay, I built the rooms, put the 2x4s in and sheetrock. I built a ramp with a guy on the back of our church so that handicapped people could get into our church building better. You know, they're just things that needed to be done. I wasn't waiting to be asked. I just saw it as a need. And occasionally, if it was something big, I'd say, Pastor, would you mind if? And let him know what I was doing. But most of the time, just did those things. Patching the roof on the church. It was leaking. You could see every time it rained, it would drip in a certain corner. I patched that roof. This is all before being ordained. Okay, I took my turn as a teacher in the children's church. Okay, I teach those kids because my pastor's wife would do it if nobody else did it. So she'd end up doing it 3 or 4 times a month. Okay, I never found out how much of a blessing that was until I became a pastor. And I found out how affirming it is to have my wife sitting in the front row. I love to have Margie sitting right there. Okay, and years later, I now find out how important it was that I took my turn teaching the kids. I didn't know how to teach kids. I didn't even like teaching kids that much. Back then, I didn't. I love kids, but it wasn't my forte. I was better with the older kids, the youth or adults. Now, I know that some of these things that I'm talking about are already going on. People are already doing some of this stuff. You're already looking for needs. You're already asking, can I help with this? And can I stay after and help you put stuff away and setting up tables? And people help with a lot of things. And I'm not trying to diminish what you're doing in any way, shape, or form. Okay, it is very, very much appreciated. Like Margie shared during the offering, nothing goes unnoticed, not one thing. Okay, we pay attention because it ministers unto us. I just know that as we grow, okay, we're going to need more help. As we move forward, there's going to be so much more to do that we're going to need more and more people to step up into these kinds of roles. And you don't have to wait until you're appointed as a deacon or ordained as a deacon before you start doing these kinds of things either. You remember the 7 guys that they picked? The disciples already saw them as worthy. The disciples already saw them as faithful and said, we've got 7 guys, Paul, let's, it wasn't Paul, it was the other disciples. But they pulled them forward and said, we got 7 guys right here. They already knew who they were. Okay, they're the people with that heart of service, the people that served and were faithful and being humble as they served. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor. That was a great message. I know it's hard sometimes. You got to hear the truth about what makes things function. Okay, it's practical. Okay, sometimes people forget and they don't realize what it takes. Hey, Margie and I are, you know, I'm in growth mode. We're in growth mode, okay? God is doing something in Rollins, and I want to stay up on it. This next wave of momentum that is beginning right now, I want to catch it and ride it, okay? I want to see where it's going to take us. I think we're going to be excited. I'm excited already. Praise God. Father, we thank you. Father, I pray that you speak to hearts this morning, Lord. This is not wanting to make people's hearts heavy, Lord. I want people to see a need and fulfill it, Father, to be organic in ministry, to serve you, to serve one another, to be a part of what you've called them to be a part of, Lord, and to fulfill that purpose in their life that is provided right here in this room and beyond these walls. Lord, help us to grab hold of what you want us to do in life, Lord. Let us see it. Let us just feel that prompting and follow your lead of your Holy Spirit as you guide us into new things to help us to understand what is next and what the next step is and how we can be a part of what you want us to do, Lord. I praise you for it. You're good to us. You love us. You're kind. You care for us. And Father, thanks for speaking to us this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to close with a song this morning.